Welcome to a life-changing encounter with the Word of God, presented to you by Reverend Bright Nkrumah, the senior pastor of the Lycos International Church, Bronx North. He is an anointed pastor and teacher of the Word of God, affecting many lives. Now get ready to be transformed by this anointed message.
Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for the grace that we have found in you, that we call you Abba Father. As we have gathered before you, Lord, release your spirit, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of wisdom. We pray, Lord, that we will not leave this place the same as we came. In Jesus Christ's mighty name, amen. Clap your hands together for the Lord and please sit on top of your enemy one more time. Wonderful. Well, we began a very important series of messages and very interesting message, and we want to continue today. So tell your neighbor that is a very special message. Amen. Say, it's very fantastic. Hallelujah. Wonderful. So we want to read our foundational scripture. We want to read our foundational scripture before we continue. Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 10. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. It says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Hallelujah. The accuser of our brethren is cast down. We are sharing about those who accuse you. Those who accuse you. And today is a second version or a second part, verse 2 or phase 2 of those who accuse you. Hallelujah. Last week we shared about who the accuser is, and we identify clearly who the accuser is, that Satan himself is the accuser. Hallelujah. And then we revealed how this accusation is his strongest and most powerful weapon. Hallelujah. After Jesus Christ was attacked in several different levels, the one thing that ended his ministry and his life was accusation. Hallelujah. And that is why we are learning not to take accusations lightly. Amen. Not to trivialize what accusations are. Amen. And we realize that when we deal with accusation, some mighty blessings come our way. Hallelujah. The Bible says salvation come and the kingdom of God also come when we deal with accusation. The brethren are made free, are set free, and there's joy and there's happiness. Hallelujah. Today, I want us to continue with this message, and we want to talk about the hidden laws. The hidden laws. Amen. So there are some laws of accusation that we want to learn about. And many people do not understand what is really happening when they are being accused. You know, when people are being accused, sometimes we take it lightly and we say it is not true. So don't worry about it. Amen. Now, the accusations that are not true, they are meant for a reason. They have special intent. They intend to do something. Hallelujah. It's a strong weapon of Satan when he's using accusation to work among God's people. Amen. So, in this series of messages, we are sharing about, or today's message, we are sharing about some of the hidden laws which govern the house and the wise of accusation. Amen. If you were not here last week, I will encourage you to listen to last week's message. Amen. And I believe you'll be blessed. So understanding these laws, these hidden laws, will help you to fight your enemy and gain the upper hand over the enemy. Because once you identify the weapon of the enemy, when you are in war and you identify the types of weapon the enemy is fighting with, that is how you also strategize your attack and your defense. Amen. So it is important that we understand. So the first law, law number one, we're talking about hidden laws. Amen. So law number one, your relationships will be polluted by accusations. Your beautiful relationships will be polluted by accusations, whether you like it or not. When accusation comes in any type of relationship, its intent is to pollute it. This is the first law. So accusations, if you will, can be likened to, or you can look at it as Satan pouring his feces on a relationship. You know, like Satan pours feces on a relationship. Now, I believe that whatever you have, if you have something beautiful and someone intentionally pours feces on it, you wouldn't really like it. Even if it is a child's feces, a baby's one, you still will not like it. You want to clean it quickly. Isn't that so? It's not a pleasant scene. So it's like Satan urinating on your relationship. And his intention is to dirty the relationship, to make the relationship dirty. Hallelujah. So these accusations have a way of affecting a relationship by making it dirty that you wouldn't want to have it. Hallelujah. So pure relationships can be poisoned even by the slightest of accusation. Beautiful relationships can be damaged when accusations set in. Amen. So nothing is ever going to be the same again once accusation comes in a relationship. It's never going to be the same again. If, for instance, you have a brother who has a nice relationship with a young woman, and they are Christians, they are friends, you know, the moment the brother is accused of having an affair or having some type of relationship with that particular person, it changes the relationship right away. Are you listening to me? It changes the relationship. And you realize that now the brother ought to be cautious. The relationship will never be the same as it was. They are not free to do things together. They are not free to talk. I hope somebody is listening to me. Even though the brother may actually be interested in someone else, there brings some type of tension in this relationship, which was very free before. There brings suspicion. Amen. So, accusations have direct effect on every relationship. Hallelujah. A everything that was once pure now looks like evil because of the slight accusation that has come in. Hallelujah. So, accusation has a way of defiling and polluting a relationship. It has the power to defile and the power to pollute a very beautiful relationship. Amen. One pastor described how his pure and undefiled relationship with his church members had been spoiled by his wife, accusing him about certain specific women. Are you listening? This pastor explained when he was asked, how has your relationship with your church members been defiled? He explained. He says, my wife claims I am interested in certain people. He says, since then, every time I speak to these people, I am supposed to, these people that supposedly I am interested in, I feel sinful. He says, I feel sinful. I feel as though I am doing something wrong. You see, a pastor who is pastoring his church with joy and love. And now suddenly, everything is changed. He says, I feel like I'm doing something wrong. So you see, maybe a church member comes and, hello, pastor, and trying to hug the pastor. The pastor is, hey. I don't hug. Are you listening? So that nice relationship has changed. It has changed. Amen. It has changed. Because the pastor, you know, sometimes some people have makeup that is not like original, you know? And when they hug you, what I'm saying is not true. So I'm giving you keys. So you buy original makeup. Because the type of makeup, when you hug someone, you damage the clothes. But the original, they are expensive. Isn't that so? But they are nice. What I'm saying is not true. Okay, let's move on. Let's move on. So the pastor says, nothing is the same anymore. Everything has changed, and I can no longer work effectively with many people in a church. And then look at another important aspect of it. He says, also, my relationship with my wife has changed. I find myself keeping things from her, which I never used to do. I have to avoid her seeing and knowing certain things so that she will not have missiles with which to fight and accuse me. You see, so little accusation, it has caused a big damage. A big damage to between the relationship of this pastor with many people, including his own wife. Are you listening? I hope you are listening. Ladies. You see? And then he said something. He said, I never thought my marriage will degenerate to such a state. That means he never thought he will ever hide anything from his wife. But because of the accusation, now he has been put in a situation where now he has to hide certain things. Things that ought not to be hidden. Things that he used to say freely. Are you listening? He is not able to say, oh, sister so-and-so called me. Called you again? You see? So he can say it. How long did you talk to her? How many times this week? So it has changed the relationship. And then, is that why you didn't call me all day? Amen. So, little accusation throws poison into one's beautiful relationship. Hallelujah. Bishop recollects in his book, he says there was one time that in the church, in the tapes and publication section, there was this university student who was working in the tapes and publications department and very zealous, working hard, doing his university work, school work, and still doing so much for the church and sacrificing so much, building up the ministry. And then one day, they had to do some form of auditing. And they were looking into finances because the tapes and publication section, if you remember, they sell the messages. That was the department that we used to sell the messages. And so it's usually also a place where, you know, they are being reproduced, you know, and sold. So you need faithful people, you know, to be in that department. And this brother was working with his heart. Now they questioned about some money incident, and the brother felt he was being accused of stealing. And that was the end of the brother. His commitment, his love for the ministry. And now he was very careful, and eventually he had to leave the church. And Bishop says that really broke his heart when this brother left. But that is what accusation can do. Accusation has such damaging effect on relationships. And that is what it's intended to do. Hallelujah. So we ought to be very careful. And the message that we are preaching, its intent is to attempt to reject the notion that many of the accusations that we hear are actually true. Is to reject that notion. It is to confront against accusing women who are destroying their husbands' ministries in secret places. It is a rejection of the lies that are peddled about God's anointed men and women through rebellious pastors also. Hallelujah. So it has a strong stand and condemnation against accusation. It is a terrible thing when it starts rising up amongst brethren. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? So we ought to be cautious and deal with accusation and not deal with it lightly. When we hear it, don't say, oh, that's not true, and just brush it off. It is a seed that has been sown. When someone accuses another person to you, a seed has been sown. Whether you believe it or not, whether it is true or not, a seed has been sown. And its damaging effect, if you are not wise and you are not careful, it will happen. And that is why we are learning about these hidden laws of accusation. Law number two. You will be accused of the exact opposite of what you really are. You will be accused of the exact opposite of what you really are. Amen. So Satan's strategy is to accuse you of the exact opposite of what you really are. That is a strategy. And many times, ministers labor under the accusation of things that are far from who they really are.
Sometimes people accuse pastors as being thieves. Are you listening? Many, have you heard that before? Many people don't even go to church because of this accusation. Many people don't go to church because of the accusation that pastors are thieves. Are you listening? So it is as if you have thrown it around. And you are a Christian, you are in a church, and then you go around making such accusation, you have damaged someone's relationship with Christ. And sometimes permanently. Many people don't even make the church of God go on. They don't pay tithe because of this accusation that pastors are thieves. Did you see his car? Did you see what he was wearing? Did you see his wife's shoes? Did you see his wife's dress? You see? You know, and if you are also a pastor, you like nice things. You have like, you like nice watches, you know, nice suits and nice things, you know, then it falls in. Are you listening? If you're a pastor and you have a Rolex watch and a church member is accusing you, you know, it works. Amen. By the grace of God, we are not thieves. By the grace of God, we are not thieves. We are in a church where I don't know where how much offering comes in a church. I have never been treasures. Have I ever been to where you are counting the money before? I'm not supposed to go there. I will never go there. Are you listening? By the grace of God. The only thing I know of people who don't pay tithes. I have a list of people who don't pay tithes. And I receive it every month. Those who don't pay tithes. I know you. And to me, I know that you are not a real committed Christian. That is what it is. You talk. Amen. But some of you, I counsel you individually, you know, out of love, because I know it's a blessing. It's a blessing. Amen. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to have that understanding, to have that understanding, you know, and it's one great area that the enemy steals from you. You know, that's where the enemy steals from you. And that is why the scripture says you cannot serve God and mammon. You know, one important thing on earth that is compared to the service of God is mammon, money. Amen. Yes. Amen. So Satan will accuse you of the exact opposite of what you really are. Men who never commit adultery, will never commit adultery, have never committed adultery, will never commit adultery until they are the dead or the end of their lives. They are accused of adultery. They are accused of adultery and it changes their relationships. Hallelujah. It changes their relationships. And sometimes you would have thought that if the accusation is the exact opposite of the person, if it is such remote from the person's character, then it should not have any effect on him or on her. You would have thought so. Surprisingly, these accusations have a powerful effect on the accused, especially when it's the exact opposite of who they are. Amen. Moses was accused of being a murderer.
Moses was accused of trying to kill the people of Israel, even though he was doing the exact opposite. God has called him to deliver the people out of bondage. But the people accuse him of trying to kill them. That is an accusation. Exact opposite of his calling. Exact opposite of his vision. Someone who was even in defense of doing this. And the Lord was able to convince him to respond to this call. And then he comes with this in mind. And then he's faced with such accusation. Hallelujah. Exodus 14 verse 11. He says, and they said unto Moses. Exodus 14 verse 11. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? That means, is it because there were no graves in Egypt? We couldn't have been buried in Egypt. Is that why you have brought us here to kill us here? To die in the desert? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? Look at that. Leave us alone to be slaves. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Look at that. As a leader, you have love for the people with an intent to bring them out of bondage, and now they are accusing you of the exact opposite of what you are doing. Exodus 16 verse 3, he said, and the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. That means this is what you have in mind. This is what you had in mind. To bring us to kill the whole family with hunger. Amen. Your husband has good intentions. You know, he wants the family to prosper. He wants the children to do well. And he wants the family to move forward. So he gathers all of you and he says, let's move here. Let's move to live in this place. And you go and things are not working. You know, things are not working as he planned. And then you gather your children to accuse him. Why did you bring us here? You know, we were happy in New York. Everything was around us. All the stores were around us. Lights every day, everywhere. Look at where you have brought us. There's no light. No light. And then maybe one day there's a snowstorm. And then, you know, you do know that some places in this country, when there's snow, there's no power. You don't know that. That some places they have to have generators. You see, you don't know. But the man had good intention. You know, to give good life. And small power cut from the snowstorm, the man is being accused. And so you are discouraged. You get discouraged. Amen. You get discouraged. The man had good intentions to have married you. Amen. Good intentions. And his plans were that we will do well. We will prosper. We will move forward in life. And small difficulty, small challenges that have come. You are saying that you are far better off with your parents. You were far better off when you were in your parents' house. You see, it brings a spirit down. The man becomes weakened. Amen. Jesus was accused. Jesus was accused of destroying God's house. I'm telling you about accusation. Jesus was the one who laid his life down, who left his crown in heaven to come on earth for the work of God, for the house of God. He was the one who went to the house of God when he saw people, robbers and thieves, trading in the house of God, that he wiped them off. But they accuse him of someone who wanted to break down the house of God. The exact opposite. I hope somebody is listening. Mark chapter 14 and verse 58. They said, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple. And then you see the accusation, they will stress on what they are saying, that what you want to hear. We heard him say, I will destroy this temple. He, from his own mouth, said, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands. And within 3 days, I will build another that is made without hands. We heard him say that. Amen. And such accusation, the question that we ask is, did it work? Such false accusation, does it work? Or did it work at all? And the answer is yes, it did. These accusations are the ones which brought Jesus' ministry down. Hallelujah. They are exact opposite of the character of Jesus. They are exact opposite of what he was doing, but it had the effect of bringing his ministry down. Jesus was condemned to death because of the accusations. It's not light. It is not a light thing when you are accused. Moses was accused of being proud. Moses. Do you know how the Bible described Moses? In Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3, the Bible says of Moses, it says, now the man Moses was very meek. This is how God described him. He says, the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Look at that. The number one humble person on earth in his time. Number one humble person on earth. And look at Numbers 16 and verse 3. Numbers 16 verse 3. It says, they assembled together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, you have gone far enough. This is NASB. This is, you have gone far enough. For all the congregation are holy. All of us are holy. He said, every one of us, we are holy. And the Lord is in their midst. So why do you exalt yourself above the assembly of the Lord? Look at this. Why do you make yourself so big? Why do you exalt yourself? You are too proud. You are too proud. Amen. You know, people gather in their homes and they accuse the pastor as being too proud. Look at how he was talking and throwing his hands. That's what we were talking about. You see how he points his finger like that? That's what we were talking about. Please, I'm not pointing my finger. I'm just... But even if I point my finger, I'm pointing my finger. Amen. Are you listening? This is the intent. You know, and the accuser, when the accuser of the brethren is in the midst of the brethren, he points these things out. He points it out. He said, look how when he's talking, he turns his head like, you see that, you see proud look, proud people. Like that. It has intent to destroy a beautiful relationship that once existed. Hallelujah. Jesus was accused of many different things. The Bible says in Mark 14, verse 56, it says, for many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. Many bore false witness against him. Mark 15, verse 3, the Bible says, and the chief priest did what? Mark 15, verse 3. The chief priest did what? Accused him of many things. But he answered nothing. They accused him of many things. Hallelujah. And these are the things that eventually, Jesus was tried by the enemy. Jesus was tried, tempted by the enemy in the wilderness, all kinds of things. The enemy actually attempted to kill him, to help the people push him off the cliff so he will fall down and die. They tried all of this. It did not work. What really worked was the accusation. Beloved, don't take accusations lightly. Don't take them lightly. Don't say things when they are not true. And anyone that rises up to accuse, see that you are hearing the devil's voice. This is the accuser of the brethren. This is the devil himself, Satan himself, the same old dragon. He's called the accuser of the brethren. Amen. Law number three. Law number three. The most effective accusers are those closest to you. The most effective accusers are those closest to you. Amen. That's law number three. Thank you. Law number three. You see, look. Everyone here is a potential accuser. Do you understand? That is why we are learning about these things. You don't intend to be an accuser, but you are a potential accuser because you are a target for the enemy. And if you don't know, if you are not learning these things, then you become the enemy's asset to use you to accuse. Hallelujah. So those who accuse, those whose accusations are effective, whose accusations are powerful, and whose accusations work the most are those who are very close to you. Accusations of close people sound credible because of where they have worked, the position they are in, and the relations that they have with you. Their accusations are, they sound credible. Hallelujah. Accusations can be actually graded according to how close the accuser is to the accused. It can be graded. So, for instance, the accusation of a church member, when a church member is accusing his or her pastor, it is stronger and it has effect, powerful effect, than when a non-church member, someone from outside, is accusing the pastor. Oh, you don't understand? The accusation of a general pastor has less effect compared to the accusation of the close associate, the assistant pastor, who is working directly with the pastor. His accusation has more effect than some other pastor from some other church who has heard about the other pastor. Amen. And so also, going further, the accusation of a wife has more power and has effect even than the assistant pastor's accusation against the pastor. Amen. There's a saying that says, when the crocodile comes from under the water, do you know what is a crocodile? When the crocodile comes from under the water and comes to tell you that there is a snake in the water, you better believe it. Because he's the one that has gone under the water. You have not been there. Hallelujah. And so when someone that is very close to you is accusing you, it's very effective. You almost want to believe it. Hallelujah. So what does this mean to all of us? The warning is that every close person is a potential accuser. Every close person is a potential accuser. If you are that close, you are a potential accuser. Hallelujah. Friends are potential accuser. Best friends are potential accuser. The enemy can easily use a best friend to accuse a friend. You are a potential accuser. Hallelujah. Close associates. Someone that is working with you in close association is a potential accuser. Hallelujah. Personal assistant. Someone who is personal, knows your emails, knows your messages, responds to your messages. That is a potential accuser. Hallelujah. Husbands are potential accusers. Amen. Husband who has lived with a wife for many years, knows the wife very well, is a potential accuser. You ought to be mindful of what you say. That when you are angry and you are saying certain things, is the enemy taking advantage now to bring an accusation that will permanently damage your relationship? So are wives also potential accusers? Hallelujah. And children are all at risk for becoming accusers. Children who live in the home, who knows what is going on. Children who know exactly what happens in the house. They are potential accusers. Amen. So, all of you are potential accusers. So if God has placed you in a certain privileged position, see that you are a potential accuser. You are a target for the enemy, and he will want to use you to destroy relationships. Hallelujah. The fourth law, you want to know the fourth law? Your accusation will not stop until you react wrongly. The accusation will not stop until you react wrongly. That is why we resist accusation. It has a target. It has intent. It has a reason. It has a place where it's going. And its intent is to cause a wrongful act. A wrong reaction. Amen. Moses was accused several times. And eventually, Moses made a big mistake in his ministry. He was under constant pressure from the accusations. And under persistent provocation, Moses disobeyed God. Are you listening? And this is the ultimate intention of the accuser. Ultimate intention of the devil is to bring you to react wrongly against God. It's to bring you to react wrongly against the one that you are relating with. That is the intent of the devil, to bring accusation such that your relationship will never be the same again. Amen. Young people, when you have friendship, you have friends, and another person is telling you, I heard that this person said your hair is not real. You know? Even though it's real. Doesn't it hurt you when your real hair is assumed to be not real? I heard that this person was saying that the jeans that you were wearing, you borrowed it. You see, it makes you not even want to wear that pair of jeans ever again, even though it looks very nice on you. It was a gift. Are you listening to me? You are rejoicing because of some high grade that you got. You are rejoicing over it, and then someone comes to tell you, I heard that you were cheating in the test.
You saw the question before.
You see, listen to me. Even though it is not true, you can't rejoice over your score any longer. Because you realize, you look at everybody's face, and they are all thinking that you stole. Accusation has a damaging effect. Hallelujah. It has a damaging effect, and it should not be looked on lightly. It has a damaging effect. Say amen.
Amen.
So, if you remember how that God had instructed Moses, the people of Israel came to a place where there was no water.
And that is where Miriam died. There was no water, and they were thirsty. And so they all rose up and gathered together to accuse Moses and to put blame on Moses and Aaron. And the Bible says Aaron and Moses left the congregation, went into the tent, went down on their faces to seek the face of the Lord. And God spoke to them. God spoke to them, and God says, gather the people together. Gather the congregation together before the rock and speak to the rock. Speak to the rock that water will come forth. Speak to the rock that water will come forth and that they will have water to drink. So Moses was so excited because he was up to the head, to the neck, over the head with these accusations. He was overwhelmed with accusations. So when God came through with this, he gathered the people. He gathered the people all together and he says, you people are accusing me. You think that you said there's no water here. You are going to have. And then he struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock. You know, in demonstration of God's power and God's wonder, he had intent of just doing what was in him out of the accusation. I hope you are listening to me. However, water came out. But what happened to Moses? That was the end of his ministry. God said, because you didn't bring me glory, you did not let my holiness be made manifest before the congregation. Because of that, you are not entering the promised land. You are not taking these people to the promised land. And that was Moses' end. Now, I just want to just a side of, you know, note that one thing that you always have to understand, you see, especially for people who go to church and you say, because the pastor has done this, because the pastor, I've heard the pastor did this, I heard that, so I'm not coming, or I'm not paying tithe, or I'm not giving offering. What I want to tell you is that for your blessing, God has for you. The intent that God has for you, he has for you. Because of your faithfulness and your expectations of God, whatever God's plan is for you, it will happen with or without the pastor. Whether the pastor is behaving or is not. You see, God was angry with Moses because Moses disobeyed God. Do you understand? Moses was supposed to speak to the rock. God was angry that Moses did not speak to the rock, but he hit the rock, contrary to God's instruction. But there was still water. Water came for the people. Whether the pastor is a thief, he's squandering your tithe, he's using your offering, for your heart and for your faithfulness, God will bless you. The principles of God, he will bless you. So this attitude of not paying tithe, not going to church because pastors are thieves, you are cutting off your blessing. Because the water will come, whether Moses spoke to the rock or he hit the rock with water. Disobeying God or not disobeying, God does not look on the man to bless you. God looks upon your heart to bless you. Is somebody listening to what I'm sharing with you? Amen. Anyway, that's just by the way. So Moses' ministry was cut off. In Numbers 20 and verse, the Bible says, and there was no water, and there was no water, and the people rose up and gathered themselves together against Moses. But the Bible says, God told him, speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. But Moses lifted up his hand and hit the rod and smote the rock. Amen. The final law, underlying causes of accusation are the common causes of madness. The underlying causes of accusation are the common causes of madness. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 6 and verse 7.
The Bible says, and the scribes and Pharisees watched him. They watched Jesus. They were watching him. Whether he would heal on the Sabbath day. You see what I was sharing with you? You see, the accuser, he watches and he points out things. He's watching and he's pointing out things. What they are accusing of. That they've been accusing him of being blasphemous and disobeying the laws of God. And so the Bible says they were watching him. Whether he will heal on the Sabbath day. That they might find an accusation against him. The accuser was in the midst of the brethren, was in their temple, watching him to see that they will find something to accuse him. Beloved, whoever will accuse someone to you is someone that is very close. Be careful when someone that is very close is accusing another person to you. Be very careful. It takes a very high-minded person to see through this. That is why I'm teaching you these hidden laws. Amen. Amen. And verse 11 says, and they were filled with madness. They were filled with madness and commune one with the other what they might do to Jesus. What they might do to Jesus. Listen, I mean, this is for us individually also, that we don't fall into the hands of Satan to be used as accusers. Do you understand? Because accusation, when you become an accuser, you'll be filled with madness. You'll be filled with madness. You don't understand? Well, you'll go crazy. Amen. You know, the extreme end of madness, physical madness, which is schizophrenia. Do you know what is schizophrenia? It is a scientific word for madness. That's all. Simple. It's a scientific word for madness. It's a mental illness. It's a mental illness. Okay? And the two cardinal symptoms of this type of sickness are paranoid delusions and auditory hallucinations. Paranoid delusions, people who are afraid of things which don't even exist or that ought not to be afraid of. And then auditory hallucinations, they hear things. They hear voices that are not there. And they believe in them. Amen. And it says, with these auditory hallucinations, the patient appears or the patient hears voices accusing him, talking to him, and discussing him. One brother, he could not live because he thought the FBI was after him. The FBI was after him. You know, and you cannot convince him. That brother, you don't have anything. What is the FBI coming after you? You know, what have you done? Who are you? That they waste so much resources the way you are describing, always coming after you. You see? But he was filled with madness. He was filled with madness. Amen. And so it is fear. The fearful behavior and the beliefs that things which are not there exist. Things which are not real are real. And they cannot be convinced otherwise that they are not there. So in mental illness, fears drive the patient down the road of lunacy. Fear. And in spiritual illness, fears also drive the person down the road of accusation. Sometimes it is fear. Fear and insecurity. Fear and insecurity make many husbands accuse their wives and many wives accuse their husbands. Fear and insecurity. And if you are not careful and you allow this to build in you and build in you, it causes madness. It causes madness. Amen. That is why people who accuse, they tend to be now become like enemies. They become like enemies. And it makes every good thing be wiped off.
Are you serious? Are you listening? Yes. It makes every good thing wipe off when you start accusing. When you start accusing. Look, if you are in a church and for whatever reason, you know, whatever reason, you have to maybe leave, go to another church, leave, go to another place or do something like that. Go peacefully. Go nicely. Do you understand? I am teaching you something very important. Because, you see, one of the things that you are going to do is to justify why you are going. You know why? Because you have been filled with goodness. You have been filled with goodness. You have been filled with blessings. You have been filled with a lot of good that has been done for you. A lot of sacrifices that have come out from the church for you. From people in the church for you. And it may feel like you are leaving the pastor or you are leaving some, but you are leaving the whole people who showed you so much love. You are leaving a whole lot of people who showed you so much love, sacrificed so much for you, did so many things for you. Do you understand? And so what now comes about is you have to find a justification. You have to find a justification so that all these people will understand. They will understand why you are leaving, not them. I'm not overlooking the love that you showed me. I'm not leaving the sacrifice that you made for me. I'm not leaving or not acknowledging that I am what I am today because of all of the things that you guys did for me here. Are you listening? So you begin to talk to people individually to justify why you are leaving. Do you see? And one best thing to generalize all of it is to target the leader. Is to target the leader. Because once you target the leader, if the leader has done this, then you have every reason to leave. I don't think you understand the message that I'm sharing with you. The reason why I'm taking my time to explain this to you is because every one of you can potentially become an accuser. And you now become filled with madness. Madness that you cannot recall any good that has been done for you. You cannot recall. You cannot recount any good to anyone. It's madness. You see, look, you see that they were filled with madness. They saw the healings. They saw the miracles. They saw how hungry people were fed, 5,000, 7,000 people fed. But they were filled with madness. Amen. The Bible says,
you know, we have a lot. I have a lot to share with you. But it's a long scripture. Are you listening to me? You'll be filled with madness. You know, jealousy. You know, fear. Fear that your husband will leave you for this woman. It will make you mad. You'll be filled with madness. Fear that your wife will leave you for this man. You'll be filled with madness. You'll be crippled. It damages the relationship. Once beautiful relationship. Amen. Once beautiful relationship will be damaged because of accusation. Amen. Eventually, we saw how they found Christ with all forms of accusation. They found him with every wrong thing. Someone, the Bible describes as who knew no sin. Eventually, because they were filled with madness. They were filled with anger. So fear and hatred are common causes of accusation. Fear and hatred. Fear and hatred. They are common causes of accusation. And men and women who are full of fear and hatred become the outlet of Satan's accusation. Hallelujah. So this is one of the reasons why you should not keep fear in you. The Bible says that fear, it brings torment. It brings torment. Don't let fear be in you. If you are worried about something, talk about it. And have it cleared. Amen. Otherwise, it puts a permanent damage to a relationship. Hallelujah. Well, I have so much to share with you, but this is all time would allow us. We want to pause here, and we'll continue with the laws. We are not done with the laws. There are so many laws. But we'll pause here, and we'll continue next time we meet. Why don't you rise to your feet? Rise to your feet as we bring the service to a close. Father, we are grateful. Bow your heads with me. Lord, we are grateful and thankful for your word. Lord, at the entrance of your word, light comes. Let the light of God shine in our hearts. Every dark spirit of accusation, Lord, we rise up to overcome it in the name of Jesus. We condemn the accuser that is within us in the name of Jesus. We block the works of the accuser. In the name of Jesus. Father, every situation and every condition that brings fear, oh Lord, we rise up to overcome it. In the name of Jesus. We clear our hearts free from fear. I pray, oh God, the spirit of madness that leads to accusation, persistent accusation, incessant accusation, Lord, let it not be once be named amongst us. In the name of Jesus. Set us free from this foul spirit. Set us free from this satanic spirit. In the name of Jesus. Let the kingdom of God come. Let salvation come. Let strength come. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down. Who accused the brothers day and night. We give you glory. We give you honor. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, with all eyes closed and every head bowed, you are here this afternoon. You are not born again. You are saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Christ. If that is your prayer, lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Is there anyone here like that? You want to give your life to Jesus. You want to come to Jesus to receive the salvation that comes from Jesus. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. If you are here, and you are attest, come and drink freely the water of life in the name of Jesus. Is there anyone here like that? Why don't you all join me and repeat this prayer with me and say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Please forgive me of my sins. Please cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe you are the Son of God. You died for my sins. You rose again on the third day. Please receive me. Take me as one of your servants. Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Lord, as my Master, and as my Savior. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by this powerful message. Come worship with us at the Lycos International Church, 821 Burke Avenue, Bronx, New York, at 2 p.m. every Sunday. God bless you.